Good morning.
Good morning.
And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. It's great to have these resurrection texts, isn't it? Okay. Because we serve a living Lord, right? Christ is risen. Amen. You guys are good, I'll tell you. You got it, okay? The name of my sermon today is Hit the Restart. I'm going to start by reading a poem by Louisa Fletcher. She writes, "I wish that there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all our mistakes and all our heartaches and all of our poor selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never put on again. For what had been hardest, we'd know had been best, and what had seemed lost would be gain. For there isn't a sting that would not take a wing, and when we faced it and laughed it away, and I think that laughter is most that what we're after, in the land of beginning again." Do you wish there was a land of beginning again? Well, today there is, and we're going to push the restart button, okay? Verse 1, "Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. 'I'm going out to fish,' Simon Peter told them. And they said, 'We'll go with you.' So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing." Bob Utley writes, "Apparently all the inner circle had gone with Peter and John for a fishing retreat as a way to get some spending money. They could no longer depend on the women who traveled with Jesus." But doesn't this story sound familiar to you? Okay. It's like we've heard it before, right? Well, that's because we have, okay? In Luke chapter 5, Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. He asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. After they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus, becoming his disciples, believing and trusting in him, and following his example. This is how the disciples started their journey with Jesus, all right? With a miraculous catch of fish. But after Jesus' betrayal by Judas, Peter's denial, the disciples abandoning Jesus and hiding, and Jesus' brutal crucifixion, I believe the disciples were looking for a fresh start. A new beginning or a restart. What's a restart? Well, I depend on my computer tremendously, and Outlook drives me crazy because Outlook goes down all the time, okay? And I call Cheryl, our computer expert who lives in Prescott, and I don't know how many times she told me, but I finally got it. She said, "Just restart your computer, and 9 times out of 10, that'll fix it," okay? So I push the restart, and sure enough, the computer works after that, all right? So if you ever have problems, that's free, okay? But if you'd like to send Pastor Rick a check, that's fine too, okay? But the disciples need a restart, and perhaps we do also. Maybe after the loss of a job, a relationship, a relapse, health issues, maybe the China virus or death of a loved one. We need a restart. Well, restarts are available here today. Go back one, please. There you go. All you have to do is press the restart button. All right? Okay. Verse 4. "Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, 'Friends, haven't you any fish?' 'No,' they answered," he said. "'Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some.' When they did this, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish." Now you can go to the next picture. You can kind of see why they didn't recognize Jesus right away, okay? Because it's early morning, they've been up all night, and it's a distance away, okay? But still, it's kind of amazing that when he told them to throw the nets in and stuff, that they didn't connect the dots, right? And say, hey, this is Jesus, especially when they caught the fish, right? That tells us that Christ is often nearer to us than we think he is. And we usually don't find out until afterwards. And then we're comforted. But he's always with us. But this has been an ongoing problem for humankind from day one. Recognizing the kingdom of God and listening to God. The disciples were fishermen. They didn't need God telling them how to fish. Or did they? We have been large and in charge ever since Adam and Eve sinned. We fight against listening to God and seeking His will, just as the apostles did at the beginning of today's lesson. Isaiah 30. Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my Spirit, heaping sin upon sin. In our own eyes, we always know best, right? In reality, is that true? No. What happened when the disciples listened to Jesus? They caught fish. They were successful, right? What happens when we follow Jesus? We're successful. We're blessed, right? I'm not going to say you're going to have a Mercedes in the parking lot, but we're blessed. I've shared before, our desire was to have a Christian daycare and build a new fellowship hall here. That was our plan over 10 years ago. And we had two or three ladies come in and try to start daycares. And the last one took over a year. And I think she was open for 2 weeks and she had five kids, okay? So when she left, I just said, Lord, what's the deal here? We got three useless classrooms and we don't have a fellowship hall, okay? And we're starting to grow. Well, that's when the Lord spoke to me and said, tear out a couple walls and what is now our fellowship hall, tear the walls out and put a kitchen in and you'll have a fellowship hall. And we did that. And we had a handyman at the time that worked for nothing. And he did it. So praise be to God, right? C. Philip Green writes, you may feel like a big fat zero at times, but let the one, the resurrected one, stand beside you and you are a ten. Failures flourish when they are with Christ. And I got it up there. And I want us to read that together. Failures flourish when they are with Christ. You ready? Failures flourish when they are with Christ. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. So today's a day for starting over, wherever we're at. Verse 7. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say it, it is the Lord. He wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. And before I continue, I forgot my pointer. Pastor Robert, you're supposed to remind me, okay? Pastor Perry always reminded me, okay? All right. But this was a long garment, and it would cover his entire body. But they pulled it down and tied it this way. So this was Simon Peter, and then when he's going to jump in the water, he pulled this up and then put his outer garment on top of it and dove into the water. So that gives you an idea of what they're talking about here. But once again, it points to the fact that this was an eyewitness account. Matthew Henry writes that John was the most intelligent and quick-sighted disciple. He whom Jesus loved was the first that said, it is the Lord. For those whom Christ loves, he will in a special manner manifest himself to. His secret is with his favorites. John had adhered more closely to his master in his suffering than any of them, and therefore he had a clearer eye and a more discerning judgment than any of them in recompense for his constancy. When John was himself aware that it was the Lord, he communicated his knowledge to those with him. For this dispensation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit withal. Those that know Christ themselves should endeavor to bring others acquainted with him. Now, John never refers to himself by name in this gospel, and I believe it's out of humility, which is really kind of strange, right? Because he was one of the sons of thunder. So the Lord's already working a change in him, right? He's changing him. He's no longer a son of, he doesn't even want to mention his name in writing the gospel. He's the only disciple, though, that stayed with Jesus on Calvary and was also granted the care of Jesus' mother. That's no minor thing, right? Peter hears John's proclamation and dives headfirst into the water, just like Peter typically does. He just jumps right in, right? Peter wasn't the brightest disciple, but he was definitely passionate, right? But why was Peter so eager to follow Jesus now? Why was he so eager to follow Jesus? I think the answer is found in Luke 7. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Jesus had, or Peter had been forgiven a great sin, so he loved greatly. And in 25 years of pastoral ministry, I can say this is most certainly true, okay? Those who have been great sinners are great lovers of Jesus Christ. And I think we need more great sinners in seminary, okay? All right. I shouldn't say that, okay, because Pastor Rolf was a PK. He was a pastor's kid, okay? And you were a great pastor, okay? But
I knew a lot about sin, too.
Yeah. Well, there, I rest my case. Thank you. Do I hear an amen? All right. Okay. Verse 8. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. For they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And I like this picture. Pastor Perry uses this in the jails. They have the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And this guy plays Jesus. He does a really good job. Okay, but the only other time a fire of burning coals is mentioned in the Gospels is when Peter denies Jesus while warming himself. And this sets the stage for next week when Pastor Robert's preaching about Peter's reinstatement. But what I like about this picture is you look at Peter, and there's going to be another picture I'm going to show you. But there's an elephant in the room, right? The fact that he denied Jesus. And it reminds me of my family growing up because it's so dysfunctional, okay? Well, we don't need to discuss it, okay? You're here, Lord, and everything's good now, right? Is that healthy? No, and Jesus is very healthy, and we'll see him address it next week. And don't you think that Peter, in the back of his mind, he's thinking, man, how could I do that? How could I? The guilt had to be killing him, all right? And I remember as a kid, whenever you did something wrong, you always kind of kiss up to your parents, right? You don't want to talk about it, but you want to kiss up to them, right? So we're kind of raised with that dysfunction, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. The guys who are laughing know, okay? All right. And the rest of you are in denial, all right? Verse 10, Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And sure enough, Jesus says, "I need some fish." So what's he do? "I'll go get them," right? Because we're good, right, Jesus? Everything's good, right? We don't need to talk about anything. So I'll be the first guy to go get the fish, all right? So there he is, all right? So he's dragging the fish in. I believe the 153 fish is an eyewitness account to show the accuracy. St. Jerome believed that there was only 153 types of fish in the world at this time, so that the gospel was universal. And it could be because there's a lot of symbolism in John. And the gospel is universal. It's for everybody. But I believe the point is that the net will not break. The net will not break. And unfortunately, I don't think the churches today understand that, okay? We have experienced so many can'ts at Amazing Grace. A white pastor doing Latino ministry, speaking Spanish, CDs and worship. Where's the praise band, right? Right there, okay? New fellowship hall, a parking lot, released inmates. Can we have... Yeah. Can we accept released inmates into church?
Yes.
There's a lot of churches that are afraid of that, right? We're thankful. Okay, we're thankful. What's that?
They send them here.
That's right. Okay. Thanks be to God. Church chairs. We had pews. And believe it or not, the pews were not that good. They were Mormon pews, and that's another story. But there were people who still said, but I really like the pews. Okay. Well, as long as the preachers here preach so long, you need to have a comfortable chair. Okay. The jail churches, PowerPoint. Man, when I first started 19 years ago, you don't want to ruin the effect of the altar by putting a screen up there, Pastor, right? But the first thing I noticed is the singing. Because when you have your head into a hymnal or a worship folder and you're singing down, it doesn't project. With the words on the screen, everybody's singing out, all right? And it covers my voice, which is a very good thing, okay? Not having enough money. Pastors, it's necessary for a pastor to have a master's of divinity. Wrong. Okay? You need to have pastors that love Jesus and know Jesus, all right? Having a multicultural ministry. You can't do that, okay? In the city, you have to have a black church and a brown church, and the white churches are out in the suburbs, okay? Well, guess what? What does Jesus say? We're all His. We all share the same blood, right? His blood. Amen? So friends, our God is big, and the net will not break. And we've seen that here in the 19 years I've been here. The net will not break, all right? So whatever fears we have about change here, or risking, forget it, all right? Because He who is in us is greater, right? So to throw that out. So when new ideas and thoughts come, don't just discard them. It could be the Spirit talking to us. And is it good to not listen to the Spirit? No. Okay? Listen and see what God can do. And if you want evidence, look what He's done in this place. Look what He's done in this place. And there, you see the net didn't break, okay? 153 large fish, that's a lot of fish, okay? Verse 12, Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask Him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to His disciples after He was raised from the dead. And there He is having, go to the next one. He's having breakfast. Bob Yulee says, "The purpose of this early morning breakfast was for fellowship and for theological reflection. The theological implications are, one, this section deals with Peter's denial in the setting of another charcoal fire. It's dealing with the elephant in the room, which Pastor Robert's going to preach on next week. And number two, the Gospel of John and 1 John were written to combat the heresy of Gnosticism, which denied the true humanity of Jesus the Messiah. And the fact that John is saying Jesus ate with him means that it was a physical resurrection. So Christ is risen. Man, these guys are trained. I'll tell you, this is good stuff. But at this morning breakfast, the disciples hit the restart button. Their relationship with Jesus is restored. They have gone from being cowards to being brothers to Jesus. But notice the restart starts here on earth. They don't have to wait for heaven. We have so many Christians waiting for heaven, right? The restart starts now, today. Spurgeon writes, "Beloved, if we only promised you something to be had in the next world, you could not make the test at once. But that which we hold out to you is a present salvation. It is not merely some future joy, but present joy. Oh, if you trust Jesus Christ, you shall come and see. That sin is mastered as well as pardoned, that the guilty conscience is pacified forever, and that your joy and peace can begin this side of the grave." It can begin today. Amen? Friends, today is the day to hit the restart button. And we can see, next picture. This is after Peter has been restored, okay? And he's walking with Jesus, all right? But the next one. The restart we all long for is found in Jesus. And it is initiated by confession. It's found in Jesus Christ. Spurgeon shares the story of a poor man who was in great distress because he couldn't sleep, and he finally fell off to sleep, and he had a dream that he was outside the pearly gates of heaven, and he couldn't get in. So he sees a great company of people approaching, and they're waving palm trees and singing. And he asked who they were. And they said, "We're the martyrs who died for our Lord Jesus Christ." And they said, "Come join us." And he said, "I can't." So they went on to heaven and he was left outside. Then there was another group that was larger and they were singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." And he said, "Who are you?" And he said, "We're the apostles and prophets who proclaimed the Messiah." And they said, "Come in with us." And he said, "No, I can't." Then the next group came in, and I would disagree with Spurgeon on this. And it was the preachers of the word, the deacons and elders of the church. You see what I mean, okay? And they said, "Come on in with us." And he said, "No, I can't." So then, finally, there's a very large group, like an army coming. And the woman who, the sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet with her tears, was leading the group singing. And the other one was the thief on the cross who said, "Remember me in your kingdom." And they were leading the group. And he said, "Well, who are you?" And they said, "We are the company of great sinners saved by great mercy." And he said, "I can go in now." Okay. And brothers and sisters, that's the company to which we belong, right? We're part of that great flock of great sinners. But friends, Jesus died for sinners. Today, accept Jesus Christ and press the restart. We are a new creation in Him. Amen?
Amen.
And we are in the land of new beginning, starting today. Amen? So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross for our sins, and we confess we are sinners. We thank you for forgiving us, and we don't want any elephant in the room with us anymore. We're sorry, Lord, for we sinned against you and against your blood. We ask that you forgive us, Lord. Strengthen us in our walk with you. Keep our hearts and eyes and ears and mind always open to the guiding of your Spirit so that we can live for your glory, Lord Jesus. Today we push the restart button. We want a new life in you starting today, Lord Jesus. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.